Urban pests. We've invited folks to call in if they're battling or fighting an urban pest. Give us a ring at 1-888-748 because we're an expert on the line with us the rest of this hour up until 11 o'clock. Mr. Darren Julian, the urban wildlife specialist from Arizona Game and Fish Department. We have people calling wanting to tell stories about urban encounters, wildlife encounters. Darren, I'm going to start with mine, okay?
You bet.
I'm a kid. I'm spending the night at my uncle's house with my cousins. He has this fox that's been getting into the chicken coop like for four nights in a row. So he loads the double barrel shotgun and puts it by the back door, waiting for the chickens to start alerting and sending the alarm. The fox is back. On time, about 1:30 in the morning, all the chickens are going nuts.
And you had said earlier you live in an urban area. This is rural farmland,
South
Louisiana.
This is out in the country in Louisiana.
You can't see town light glowing from any direction.
It's so far out in the country, Uncle Jerry sleeps in a T-shirt and nothing else. Nothing else. Just a T-shirt. Just barely long enough to cover what needs to be covered. So he's sneaking out in front of us with his double-barrel shotgun up to the chicken coop. And he's got this hound dog named Nose. Well, Nose comes up behind Uncle Jerry and puts
wet
his nose and wet noses his behind. And we're so close to the chicken coop at this time, the wet nose on Uncle Jerry's behind causes a reflex for him to squeeze both triggers of the double barrel shotgun, and he promptly kills 12 chickens. So me and my cousins were up until breakfast. Plucking chickens.
Working on next night's dinner.
We were plucking chickens. So, Darren, we were talking about javelina. Let's get back to javelina. We never dealt with javelina down in Louisiana.
Not yet. They're probably moving that way.
Are they really?
Well, it's an amazing creature that they're a tropical animal that have moved, you know, up into Arizona. We've got them as far north as Flagstaff, you know, and I don't know how an animal that doesn't have fur, they just have hair, stays warm in those winters in Flagstaff up there, but they're expanding their ranges.
And that is new. I mean, 30, 40 years ago, we wouldn't see them above the rim, would we?
Right, exactly.
Very interesting. I wonder what would drive them up there. I mean, I know they're looking for family habitat, but I mean, they just have to be freezing up there.
You would think, but, you know, animals kind of adapt and overcome, when, just like coyotes, you know, they've adapted to living in and amongst us, you know, so a lot of that kind of, we're seeing some adaptation right during our lifetime.
We are. All right. Well, Darren, you've loaded up the phone lines. Every single line is filled. Somebody has a story of one type or another. That's Merle into the conversation. Good morning, Merle. Let me introduce you to
Merle.
Darren Julian, urban wildlife specialist at Arizona Game and Fish.
Well, we live in Picture Rocks, and it's a bunch of small horse properties. And there is a resident a bobcat that has lost its fear of humans, pretty much.
Yep.
And we have learned to control the peccaries and the rattlesnakes and the desert toads, but the bobcat is a little harder. And I don't want to kill it because a lot of the neighbors like having them. The chicken with the horse control works pretty well. I was wire around the top of the fence. It might keep the bobcat out, or is it just going to jump over it?
Yeah, the fencing. Once that animal jumps up on there and gets zapped, where do they go? They go in or out, and now they may be stuck. Oh,
yeah.
Some of them are as bobcats. It's in this kind of hose with the sprayer on it. Soak them down. Just like a domestic cat, they don't like being soaking wet, and they're going to, you know, associate. It may take you a few times, stuff though, of soaking them down before they realize that, hey, this is where I get, you know, kind of beat up, and, you know, the water's going to irritate them, and they're going to start to avoid that location. The other thing, though, too, is to look at, you know, why they may be attracted to your yard. You say you have chickens?
Yeah, I put chickens in with the horses, or I did have. They've cleaned out the chickens. And it controls the fly population.
Yeah, with chickens and stuff, though, I mean, you've got a food source, so you need to contain them. You know, use sturdy construction. There's a lot of good information on the websites on how to build a bobcat or predator-proof chicken coop. Other things you may use would be, you know, guard animals. And then something as simple as they make these motion-activated sprinkler heads that you can put out if the animals are coming in at night and stuff, though, just to kind of set it and forget it, and then that provides that water deterrent to scare them
off.
Well,
if I put them in a bobcat-proof coop, then they're not going to be out there scratching through the manure and eating all the fly larvae. So,
right. Yeah, so there is trade-offs and stuff, though, and, you know, certain people will take that, you know, as, you know, kind of a cost of doing business, whether you lose a few chickens a week or, you know, every month or something like that. You know, you kind of build that into your cost of doing business versus,
well,
you know, your natural
them all out
control.
A day, he'll kill 8 in a day.
Oh, my goodness. All right, everybody, hang on. We're going to take a short break and be right back with Darren Julian, Urban Wildlife Specialist from Arizona Game and Fish.